Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, there are 2 points to note to help us understand the significance of our gospel lesson read today. The first is timing. The gospel reading read a moment ago spans over the course of 1 week. The first half occurs on Easter night, the second half 1 week later. So if you think about all those events that we discussed last week, the women going to the tomb, the angels, the guards, Jesus himself appearing to Mary and even to Peter and John saying, "Rejoice." What we read in the gospel lesson for today are all happening the evening of that same day. Which brings us to the second point to note, that all these disciples, what are they doing? The 10, it's minus Thomas and minus Judas. What were they doing at this point? They were behind locked doors, living in fear. It says, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. These 10 disciples were living in fear. They were afraid that the Jews were going to do to them what they did to Jesus. Now, this should be shocking to us, at least a little bit, because at least 2 of these disciples have seen Jesus resurrected from the dead just earlier that day. And still, even given that truth, they are still living in fear. They're hiding behind locked doors. Really, knowing that Christ has been raised, there should be nothing for them to fear at all. Because the resurrection of Jesus proved that Jesus is who he says he is. It proves that Jesus is true God and that he has come to rescue them. The resurrection of Jesus shows that Jesus has conquered death. That after all, those disciples were the ones who were at the resurrection of Lazarus. They saw this man who was in the tomb for 4 days break from this tomb wrapped in linen cloths. And that is when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even though he dies. And whoever dies and believes in me shall never die." That's what the disciples heard Jesus say. And now that Christ has risen from the dead, it proves all that. The disciples really need not fear death. But most of all, the resurrection of Christ shows that God has accepted the atoning sacrifice of Christ as a sufficient sacrifice to appease the wrath of God for sin. The resurrection of Christ shows that fallen humanity has been reconciled back with God. That God's wrath for sin has been quenched because Jesus received the wrath of God for sin in full. And having been reconciled, having received the full wrath of God for sinners, there is now no longer any wrath for God to pour out on transgression. That there is now no war between God and man, but that man's relationship with God is now a relationship of grace and mercy. The resurrection of Christ shows all of this to be true. So in light of all of this, what are the disciples doing that Easter night, having witnessed the resurrection of Jesus? Are they having a banquet in celebration? Are they going out boldly proclaiming what God has done? No. They're hiding in fear behind locked doors. And the disciples really have nothing to be afraid of. That Jesus has proven he's God, he's conquered death and the grave. and he has put them in fellowship with the Lord God Almighty, what in the world could the disciples have to be afraid of? But locked doors did not keep Jesus out. The God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, is not inhibited by a wooden door and chains. He's able to do this still as a real human man because God's almighty powers are exercised through his humanity. But we're at an interesting juncture here, that Jesus is now standing in the midst of 10 of the disciples who were hiding in fear. And this is the first time Jesus, since the resurrection, speaks to his disciples gathered all together. So what do you think it is that Jesus is going to say to his disciples gathered in fear? What is he going to say that he is now risen from the dead? Does he say, "What are you guys so afraid of?" Does he say, "Told you so"? The first thing that Jesus says to these disciples hiding in fear is this: "Peace be with you." That is the word Jesus has for his disciples. And that's the word Jesus has for you as well. Because after all that Jesus has been working on for the last 33 years as he's lived on earth, this is what he's been working for: establishing peace between fallen humanity and God. And not just the last 33 years, but ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God has been working to fulfill the promise that he made that there would be no enmity between God and man. And today, in the resurrection of Jesus, it has happened. Have you ever had a certain goal that you've been working on for a very long time? Maybe you had the goal of getting a certain job, but you first had to get the right licensing or the right degree. Or maybe you've been putting in all the hard work to get that promotion you've always wanted. Or maybe you've been taking on a certain renovation project, a big one, and you've been working long hours to finally get things fixed up just the way you wanted them. The moment that you're done, that moment that you've accomplished everything that you've set out to do, the reward is seeing your goal, your vision, finally realized. For God, that is what this declaration is all about. Peace be with you. That's what all of this has been about. The moment Adam and Eve sinned against God and brought death and suffering into this world, God made a promise that day that humanity would be reconciled back to him. And what Jesus declares to these disciples and you is mission accomplished. That's what God has been doing all of these years up to this point. He was planning for the moment he would enter into the human race and win us back to him. But before God would be born a man, he would need a people to be born into. So that when God caused a famine over the land and put Joseph under Pharaoh, that would provide food for all of Israel, there God was working to restore peace between you and him. When God was sending plagues upon Egypt and he was parting the Red Sea, he was working to restore peace between you and him. And when God took away Israel into Babylon and with a small remnant rebuilt Jerusalem, he was working to restore peace between you and him. And when God was born a man and he sinned not but was arrested, scourged, and crucified, he was working to restore peace between you and him. You see, Jesus is standing before these 10 disciples, and he declares to them, "Peace be with you." It means God has accomplished all he said he would do. But that's not all of it. Now that God has established by the death and resurrection of Jesus, that fallen humanity is now restored and reconciled back to God. There is now a mission accomplished that the war between God and man has been ended. God now has a new mission. This new mission is bringing this peace that he's established between God and man to the entire world. It's not just that God wins peace, but that his desire is that the entire world actually knows this peace, that we would have peace. You know, nothing objectively changed before or after Jesus stood in the midst of those 10 disciples. In this sense, that they were just as reconciled to God when they were hiding in fear as they were when Christ said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus didn't do any more atoning work for them that he didn't already do on Good Friday. The only difference is that these 10 disciples had the blessing of hearing God's word of peace delivered to them by Jesus himself. What has been won for them stands as an objective reality. It happened. But they still hid in fear and in disbelief. When Jesus comes, he comes that they would not have fear, that they would not be in disbelief. So he delivers to them what he won on the cross to bring it to their very ears. At this, they have peace. And in this very moment, we see what Jesus has done for you too. There is no more atoning work to accomplish for you. It's been done. It's finished. You can't be any more reconciled to God than the moment that Christ died for you on the cross. The question is, will you be living in fear like these disciples, or will you know peace for yourself? And the answer is that God wants you to know this peace. And to ensure that that happens, he has set up a way for you to receive this peace. Just as he stood in the midst of these 10 and said, "Peace be with you," Christ has set up a way for you to receive his peace. He said, "If you forgive anyone, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." That is how you receive the peace of knowing that you are reconciled to God and that he has no wrath for your sins. Christ has set up an office to speak on his behalf, to represent him concerning your sins. Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. That he is putting the truth of God into the mouth of a human representative. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be ill-informed of what he has done for you. He doesn't want you to be hiding in fear. He doesn't want you to wonder, what does God think of me? Especially given the fact that I still sin. For this, God has given you a church with an office to speak on God's behalf. And this office, God has placed his word on you in the waters of baptism where he said, "You are my child and you will spend eternity with me." That through this office, by his word, Christ gives you his very body to eat and his blood to drink for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And through this office, by a called and ordained servant of the word, Christ declares to you this, "I forgive you all of your sins." It's as if God himself is standing right here in our midst and he's saying to you, "Peace be with you." Knowing with certainty all of your sins are forgiven and that God has now reconciled you back with him, you truly have nothing to fear. Not pain or death, for Christ has made death a portal to eternal life. Not his wrath, for he has quenched that wrath by the death of Jesus. and not hell, for he has made heaven your home. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.